You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. Good evening. I'm Al Vona, host of The Public Eye. Nice to have you with us this Sunday evening. Whether you want to believe it or not, whether you want to take a harder look at this, the fact of the matter is that college campuses across the country are in many cases using the classroom as a platform for liberal discussion, political discussion. Is it something that we should be more cognizant of? Is it something we should be more aware of? How widespread is it? So there's a lot of questions. And my guest this week is Inez Stepman. She's a senior policy analyst at the International Women's Forum in Washington, D.C. And for the next half hour, we'll be talking with Inez and getting her take on all of this. Inez, nice to have you with us.
Always great to be here. Thanks for having me.
First question, how widespread is the fact that college, I don't want to say college campuses, college classrooms on campuses across the country, how pervasive is this liberal theory being, talked about in the classroom to students?
Well, it's hard to say exactly, but we do have a lot of data points to show that universities lean far left. And of course, this isn't a new thing, right? 70 years ago, William F. Buckley published God and Man at Yale, pointing out that Yale at that time, 70 years ago, was leaning far to the left of the general population. But we have data, for example, on registration and political donations from staff and from professors. We have the seemingly almost daily occurrences that make the news of various incidents, students getting really, really upset if a conservative speaker is brought to campus or even a center speaker is brought to campus and then trying to shut that speech down. So Americans, I think, are looking at this and they're responding. So what we've seen is that, we've seen Americans in polls. Pew takes these annual polls of how much trust people have in various institutions in the country. So they will poll about Congress. They'll poll about the Senate, the House. They'll poll about the executive branch, and the president, the media, Hollywood, just taking a temperature of how Americans feel about their various institutions. And we've seen a sea change in how Americans feel about universities. Just 4 years ago, there was a bit of a consensus that our universities were a positive thing for the country. So 4 or 5 years ago, you got two-thirds of Americans basically saying universities are a positive thing for the country, less than a third saying they were negative, some people in the middle. And in the last 4 years, you've seen that support plummet to just under half. And that's driven primarily by Republicans. So there used to be more of a consensus between Democrats and Republicans about universities being a positive thing for the country. And what you've seen in the last 4 years is that Republicans and some independents have completely lost faith that institutions are neutral, including universities. They feel that universities are batting for a political team. And so that's why you've seen that trust erode very, very quickly in the last 4 years.
I know, and you can probably say the same thing. I know when I was in college, I was an economics major, so especially when we were talking about stock market or global the global economy, quite often a professor, a teacher may inject the fact that they felt that the administration or the government should have gone one way on policy versus another, and I think most students took that all in stride. And as you said earlier, parents, especially if they were paying the tuition at many of these schools, thought, well, okay, so there's two sides to each story. So if my son or my daughter had one theory or one way of thinking, and somebody brought a new idea, that's great. That's stimulating people's thinking. It's given them reason to look at different avenues. But on the report that we see now, and as you said, it seems all of that's gone out the window, and everything, and college campuses, especially the classrooms, are now rooting for a particular party, political party, political ideologies. How do you stop that, Inez? I mean, it's not what we send our kids to college for.
I don't know. know that there's a way to stop it sort of from the top down. But I do think it should lead us to question why the taxpayer so strongly and generously supports universities. So as far as I'm concerned, universities have basically offered a bargain, right, to the taxpayers. They've said they've made two promises. And they've said that's why it's worth funding the universities. It's worth sending billions in direct grants and trillions in student loans that are underwritten by the government that otherwise would not exist. Why is it worth it? Okay, well, we're doing two things here. One, we're creating wiser citizens, right? So the about a third of Americans who go on to get a college degree, universities have promised the general public it's worth paying for this because this is just a inherently positive thing. We're going to create wiser citizens who understand things better because they've had this additional four years of education. So that has been one promise, and I think that's starting to increasingly seem laughable to a lot of Americans. The idea that a four-year college degree somehow makes you wiser is a lot of people would laugh at that these days, especially since they're increasingly not following sort of a classical liberal curriculum, right? It's pretty rare these days that you actually have to, for example, read Aristotle in order to graduate with a degree in any one of the liberal arts. So folks, I think, are looking at that and saying that doesn't sound right anymore. I don't think that college students are coming out wiser than they're going in. And the second promise was this is going to boost the economy, right? This is going to, these folks coming out of college, they're going to have better economic opportunities. They're going to start more businesses. And this is going to boost all the boats, right? If we have more folks in my town who are coming back from university and starting businesses and employing people, well, that's good for everyone, right? That makes that investment worth it. And increasingly, although it's still true that if you come out with a four-year degree, you do have higher earning potential over the course of your lifetime, I think awareness around exactly how much college costs now and how deeply in debt you have to go into in order to get that degree, I think folks are for the first time looking at that and saying, you know, that is not necessarily a win. It for a lot of students, they have taken on so much debt recently with the cost of university that even that bump in earnings has not really been a financial boon for them because it's offset by the fact that they're paying off these massive student loans, or in many cases not paying off these massive student loans. So I think there are two factors that go into it. One is the dismay with the political capture sort of from the left of the universities. And the second part is going along with a very practical reassessment of whether or not it's really worth it to take on sometimes six-figure debt for these four-year degrees if they're not providing the economic bump that is making that huge amount of debt worth it.
I'm glad you brought that up because many people I know right here in central Massachusetts we have a host of terrific educational institutions, and people are spending $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 and more per year, and that's just for one child. So if they have two, three children, as you said, they're taking on tremendous debt. Many of these people are not getting jobs that will enable them to pay that off in their lifetime. But let me go back to the idea of what's being taught, and I think a lot of people would agree with you. You know, when they come out, are they really seasoned and ready to, take on the world? In many cases, no. But do college administrations, Inez, from your viewpoint, do they make a concerted effort to go out and recruit teachers and staff that have a particular political point of view?
I think a lot of the recruitment of professors, right, has to do with the departments, and we have had a proliferation of sort of these kind of quote-unquote studies departments, right? So fields of study that are based around critiquing some aspects of modern culture and saying, okay, well, we've understudied some aspects of society, whether that's whether that's ethnic studies or whether that's female authors who have been ignored, let's say, for the last 100 years. So there's a lot of these studies departments, and each one of those departments has the ability to hire. And so there's some great work, actually, from Heather McDonald on the proliferation of these kinds of, quote-unquote, diversity departments, how many people they're actually hiring. They're hiring an enormous amount of adults, paying them all very, very high salaries. And those things have not proven themselves sort of worth it on in terms of the free market. And yet the universities have the ability to pay for them because we've underwritten going to college so extensively. So, for example, you know, folks don't always know how much money we're actually pumping into the universities and how much money the average taxpayer is putting into the universities. So we have something like $75 or $80 billion in federal direct grants. That doesn't count all of the public support on the state level. So obviously, public universities on the state level get enormous taxpayer support on that level as well. But the biggest ticket item here is $1.5 trillion in student loans that are underwritten by the taxpayer. And I'll give you an example of what I mean. It's fine that these universities have all of these quote-unquote studies departments, but if the government wasn't underwriting all of the student loans for folks to attend it, a 17-year-old who wanted to study, let's say, feminist literature would have to go into Wells Fargo and sit down and say, I want $160,000 to study feminist literature for 4 years at Cornell or wherever, right? And the bank would have to look at that and say, is your degree in feminist literature going to pay us back our $160,000 plus interest?
Right.
Is it worth it for us to give you this loan and then to feel, because the bank is going to look at its bottom line, right? It's not going to be looking at other reasons. It's just going to say, hey, is this degree going to enable you to pay back this $160,000 or not? Well, the government doesn't ask questions like that. U.S. Congress has put a blank check in front of every 17, 18-year-old who has been accepted to college and said, sign here on the dotted line and we'll loan you hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that has created a huge bubble in the cost because there's no market evaluation anymore on what a degree is worth because there doesn't need to be. The government gives a free check. Well, at the end of the day, the universities might be happy with that free check, but at the end of the day, the student isn't because the student actually has to pay it back at the end of this. It's not quote-unquote free money, right?
No.
The student has to pay it back, and Congress putting that blank check in front of every kid who goes to college has not been a positive thing for my generation, which is now the most indebted generation in our history. But it's been an enormously positive thing for the universities, and I think it's about time we start talking about the fact that their entire bubble and their ability to charge so much money and their ability to proliferate a lot of these departments that don't have an economic value necessarily once students leave school. That ability is based on the American taxpayer funding these things. An American taxpayer, two-thirds of whom don't have a college degree, who are funding these kinds of college degrees for students.
Yeah, and it's getting to be a bigger and bigger problem. I want to take a quick pause, let folks know that you're listening to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. I'm Al Vona, host of The Public Eye. My guest this week is Inez Stepman, senior policy analyst with the Independent Women's Forum in Washington, D.C. We're talking about a number of issues come into play at higher education. One, the enormous debt that's being taken on by, and Inez has been talking about that, by young people and their families, many parents, many taxpayers across the country, and what you get out of college today. In addition to that, many people feel dismayed that it's become a platform for political, dialogue supporting one political party or one political philosophy and nothing more. And there's a couple of things, just what you said comes into play big time. I hear it all the time. They graduate, as you said, with a liberal arts degree, maybe in a certain discipline that will probably not get them many job opportunities, but they've straddled themselves. Many families, many parents I know have taken out, the house is paid for and they've gone back in, put a mortgage back on, $150,000, $200,000, a degree that may not you know, ever see the kind of compensation they would need to pay that back. And then you put on top of that the fact that many are dismayed with what's being taught in many colleges. But as you said, it all goes back to government, the federal government saying, hey, you want to go to college? It's on us until you have to pay. Is there any incentive in the Congress, you know, as we speak, to curtail some of this, you know, this so-called, because I hear this from many students. Well, it's free money. No, somebody has to pay it back sooner or later. Is there, you know, is Congress aware of the fact that, you know, we're straddling families with hundreds of millions of dollars in debt? Is anybody aware of that? Or do they care?
They're definitely aware, and that's why you see folks like Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren coming out with plans to forgive student debt. I mean, I think both sides in Congress are aware that the debt is a problem, that we have $1.5 trillion in outstanding student loan debt, that it is among the ticking time bombs that we have out there in the economy right now, is all of the student loan debt, a lot of which is not being paid down, right? So students are on various plans that peg their debt to their income, and they're not paying down the principal, right? So a lot of that debt is not going to be paid back. That's the reality of it, and Congress is aware of that. But unfortunately, there a lot of the things that are being proposed are just to dig deeper into the hole, right? So I mentioned Elizabeth Sanders and Bernie Warren, reverse it, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, who have proposed student loan forgiveness, right, which is just have the taxpayer backfill all of this money, which is a deeply regressive and unfair policy, right? If you're asking the average American worker who's making about $60,000 a year and does not have a college degree, I mean, you're asking them to pay off the loans for students who went to Harvard and Yale and studied something like, you know, feminist literature or whatever, and you're asking a guy who makes $60,000 a year to pay off that degree for that person. It's deeply regressive and unfair. And if you look at student debt, it's actually, interestingly, it isn't a sort of middle to upper middle class problem because more kids from that socioeconomic strata end up going to universities. You see that the vast majority of student debt is held by people who come from families who are either sort of in the middle class or above that, right? Actually, a significant portion of that that debt is held by people in the top two quintiles in the socioeconomic strata. So you're talking about a regressive policy, right? Taxing folks who are actually making less money and oftentimes than the college students who hold the debt to pay off that debt.
So that's
one, but it just doesn't help us in general, because
right,
what's going to continue is this entire system in which universities get to endlessly roll up their prices, right? Because there's so much quote unquote free money on the table, universities can continue to raise their prices year after year, as we've seen well above inflation. And the only people who actually end up holding the check are right now the debtors and the students. And if under some of these plans, it'll be all the taxpayers, and the universities can continue to live high on the hog on taxpayer money.
This sounds like for lack of a better term, and I know probably a lot of people are going to wouldn't appreciate this, but it sounds like a plan. What I mean by that is that, as you said, the universities, I can tell you where I went was a state university, and you know, it was two buildings back 35 years ago. The campus is now over 15 buildings and sporting facilities that are as nice as any you'll ever can see, you know, major parking lots and beautiful dormitories, and that's all well and good. But as you said earlier, the average working man and woman, especially when there's a default, are paying for this. Not only that, but as you said, it's carte blanche for the colleges and universities across the country. And then to top it all off is that they can tell, you know, when your kids go to the school, and they sit in the classroom. Maybe they don't anticipate this, but they may be hearing a certain political philosophy. I always was told that when you go to college, you'll get a well-balanced education. Well, you know, I guess you'd have to have someone say, well, let's define what well-balanced means. So as you said, everything seems to be stacked against the student. And the public at large, as you said, the federal government is just saying, we don't really care. We're aware of it, but we don't really care. At some point, and the colleges are raising tuition year after year after year, at some point, there's got to be a break somewhere. Something has to give. What might that be?
Well, I think that's what you're seeing with public trust plummeting, right? Universities can only live the way that they've been living and taking taxpayer money the way that they have, if they've convinced the general public that it's such an intrinsically good thing for students to go to college that it's worth that public investment. And what you're seeing is, because of the politics of the universities, because so many people now feel that it's indoctrination and that there's, you know, not that, that students aren't really learning the classics in humanities, and they're not really learning the hard-headed stuff on the math and science side that's going to give them the economic advantage coming out, and because prices are so high, all of that is parents are seeing this, and they're taking a look at whether or not it's worth it. And that's why you see that public trust plummeting, and universities can ignore that for a little while, right? They can continue to live the way that they've been living. But eventually that public trust is going to affect policy, right? When you have fewer than half of Americans who are able to say at bare minimum that universities are actually a positive thing for the country, which is what this Pew survey asked, right? It just asked folks, are universities positive, neutral, or negative force in for the country? Mm-hmm. And now you have not even half of folks saying universities as a whole are a positive thing. And that's not even asking them, are they so positive that they're worth, you know, these trillions of dollars?
Right.
And so I think that universities should think about these things because they will eventually affect politics. But I did want to make there is a broken link in this chain. So I would want to make this point. The Republican Party has not caught up to Republican voters. So what we've seen is that slide below half is driven by a steep drop off among Republican and some independent voters, but primarily among Republican voters saying that universities are a positive thing. So it used to be that more than half of Republicans, just 4 years ago, a nice majority of Republicans said universities are a positive thing. Now, 4 years later, you're seeing just about a third, right? So like a really steep drop off. So almost a third of Republicans say universities are a positive thing. And you're seeing majorities say, nah, this is actually negative for the country. This is net negative for the country. The Republican Party is not where their voters are yet. So they haven't made any substantive proposals in Congress to actually curb this money. So they have all kinds of sort of schemes about how to better spend the money, and they're going to be arguing about those schemes coming up because there's something called the Higher Education Act that needs to be reauthorized in the next couple of years. But they haven't actually, Republicans surprisingly have not been saying that we need to stop this money. And you would think that would be a natural political position for the Republican Party, one, because they tend, although, you know, they haven't always shown it, but they tend to at least pay lip service to fiscal conservatism. So there's a basic reason there. But just on pure politics, you would think they would say, these universities lean really far left. You know, we're the conservative party, allegedly. Why should we be sending money to essentially our political opponents? But they haven't said that. Their voters are saying it.
Right.
But the Republican Party in Congress has basically gone on to pretend that universities are sort of neutral institutions the way they were 40 years ago, and arguably not even then, but certainly more neutral than they are now. And what we've seen is Republican voters have decided that universities are not necessarily neutral institutions that are worth their trust and money, but Republican politicians have not yet followed suit. But I would warn universities, I think, you know, in a democracy, it is somewhat inevitable that the views of the voters will eventually be represented in Congress. And so I think universities should be looking at what they can do to prop up public trust and how they can return to delivering a product where the majority of the country can say, yeah, this is good for the country. It's good that students go to your university.
A true disconnect. There's no question about it. I don't think anybody, whether they say it in private or in public, there's certainly, as you said, there's a disconnect between, political leadership and the average taxpayer, the average voter. In the closing moments, I have to get your opinion on this because it caught me off guard earlier this summer. Happened to be at a function, and there were a number of young people just recently graduated, or let's say in the last couple of years, from various colleges and universities. And two things were very, very stuck in my mind. Three had no clue who the vice president of the United States was. These are people, 19, 20, 21-year-olds. I'm sorry, in my eye, by the time you get to that, whether you agree with that person or not, whether you vote for that party or not, but to not know who the vice president of the United States is. And secondly, two, hadn't found work yet, but were very much determined that they were not going to go to work until they could get a six-figure income because they had spent 4 years in college. I'm hearing that more and more. I don't know if it's just something that, I just happen to be the lucky one that had to fall upon, people who had that attitude. Or is this also pervasive that they're going to college, paying big bucks, you don't even know who your political, your national leaders are, and you're of age to vote. And secondly, you won't go to work for less than a six-figure income. That's crazy.
So on the informed piece of this, we do have a lot of data that students are, less well-informed than one might hope for folks who had gone on to higher education. And oftentimes we're seeing that college students are not actually answering those questions at higher numbers, those kinds of questions, who's the vice president, how long is a senator's term is another one that people ask. So they're not answering those kinds of basic civic knowledge questions any better than students coming into university, right? Mm. So there are some tests that are administered as part of studies that will ask freshmen coming in, do you know who your senator is, who's the vice president? Who are the people on the Supreme Court? What's the role of the House, in Congress, right? These kinds of basic civic questions. And then they'll ask them those questions as they're coming in as freshmen, and then they'll ask them again once they're graduating as seniors. And what we've seen, disturbingly, in a lot of these studies, just there isn't any difference, right? That after 4 years, there aren't more students reporting that they know any of these basic facts, which again points to the idea that universities are not necessarily providing what the average American would think of as a basic education for students, right? So as you said, whatever political party you end up coming out with, voting for or caring about, whatever your perspective, I do think that Americans still think there is a core canon of important things to know about Western civilization,
Absolutely.
About Western philosophy, about the founding of the country, and about basic civics and how our government works.
Yep.
And increasingly, universities don't have any of those programs on their requirements list, right? So the students parcel off into majors super, super early. And then those majors are very specific, right? It's I keep using the feminist literature tag, but it could be, for example, female authors between 1900 and 1921, right? And a lot of these disciplines are getting more and more specific, and narrow, and leaving not a lot of room for the generalized liberal education that a lot of parents would hope their kids would get
exactly.
in university.
Exactly. And then real quick, because we only have a couple months. The other thing that was disturbing, as I said to you, is their expectations, I think, are somewhat unrealistic, that you're not going to go to work for less than a certain salary. You've never been in the workforce, or if you have, it's been part-time summer jobs, and we've all been there. But that's something else that's very disturbing, coming out of university thinking, well, I had 4 years of college, so I deserve a six-figure income. That's crazy.
Well, part of it is they have to service their six-figure debt. That's there's also this economic quandary, right, where it's hard to slot into an entry-level job that a lot of kids would have taken in the past if you have, let's say $1,500, $2,000 a month in just loan expenses that you have to pay. So there is this vicious cycle of taking on enormous amounts of debt and then not being able to take a job that would be a stepping stone to a better job because you have immediate needs to service that debt. But I think more broadly, Americans are, and I think this is part of the reason for the slide in trust in universities, it's not just politics. It's the realization that a four-year degree is not necessarily the best route for everybody to get to the middle or upper class in terms of income. There are a lot of great jobs out there that require different kinds of training that is much, much less expensive than going to a private four-year university and getting that four-year degree. And then on the flip side, the recognition that a lot of those four-year degrees don't actually come, they're not communicating anymore to employers that this kid actually is you know, sort of a bright young man who's going to jump in and rise through the ranks quickly. The value of a degree, even in that sort of generalized sense of marking folks who are good students, who have a good work ethic, that signal to the market is going down over time because universities are not necessarily teaching, depending on your major, they're not necessarily creating people who are more prepared to go into the workforce and add value to a company or a business in the same way that they did in the past. And so we're seeing the value of that degree, even in the workplace, become less valuable.
Yeah,
right? Even though there is still a difference in lifetime earnings, we do still see a bump. It's hard to separate out that from the inherent qualities of the kids who are coming into university. As I said, there are more kids coming in from a middle or upper middle class background. There are more kids after university who go into middle class or upper middle class type salary jobs. But it's hard to parcel out. It does seem to be that in the past, the university degree was communicating something more to an employer about how that person was going to be a huge asset to the business. And increasingly, we're seeing employers say, you know what? I don't need this kid to have a college degree. I can go with another kid who has this specific training for the specific job that I'm going to do. And we're seeing that there are other routes to the middle class.
I think, as you said, the economy is going to dictate that, you know, we want someone who creates value for our organization, for our business, and that's really going to be the determining factor. And as real quick, people may want to pose questions or get more, you know, more information about the research that you personally and what the organization does. How can they reach you?
Sure. You can find me at the Independent Women's Forum, IWF.org, or you can tweet at me on Twitter, at Inez Belcher. And you can find my work at IWF.org, as I said.
And I want to thank Inez for being my guest this evening. We've been talking about the value, first and foremost, of college universities and a college education today. Are they creating value for our young people? And why so many people are losing faith in the higher education in this country today? And whether or not things change, only time will tell. Any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios at WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. I certainly welcome that. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A, at WICN.org. For the public eye, this is Al Vona.